Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to a very professional episode of How to Be Sound, featuring me, Rosemary McCabe, where I talk to somebody I deem to be sounder than I am. And actually, I've started to wonder if maybe I'm having too many comedians on my podcast, because I think that I am quite a funny person. I'm not a comedian, right? I think I'm quite funny. And then I have comedians on, and I'm like, fuck it. Then they seem funny, because when I have normies on, I can feel like I'm the funny one. But
Rosemary, you're very funny.
That is all to say. I haven't even introduced you yet. You're supposed to be being quiet.
Okay, sorry.
That is all to say. I'm here with Julie J, comedian and podcaster, who you may know from Up to 90, her podcast, or from the internet, her canvas. Well, not really canvas, but like your one of your platforms. Julie, welcome to my bedroom.
Hello, thank you so much. I can't believe I'm in the bedroom. This is wonderful. I feel like I'm on the Fair City set. Like, this is fantastic. Because you know when you feel like you've been in someone's bedroom from social media you're actually here?
Yeah, yeah. Or like sometimes I had a haircut that was like quite short, but I had a long piece to one side. And when I met people in real life, they were always shocked because it's on the opposite side on Instagram stories.
Oh, yes.
Which means they'd be like, your hair is different. It's the other side.
I'm loving all the doggies. It's
if
great.
I don't have a doggy one for everyone. Dog, I have another bark. Well, there isn't. Yeah,
it's like you know the Oprah back in the day, and it's like you get a car, you get a car. It's like you get a dog, you get a dog.
Oh, imagine being on that Oprah.
I know, but everyone we've talked about this in Up to 90. Everyone gets a bit too excited on the Oprah. You know, you look back now, and it's like it's all a bit too much. Like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio say, like, she'll ask him a question, like, you know what. What's your type? And he'll say, well, I guess
Victoria's Secret models who are under 18.
Like, you know, everyone loses their mind.
Yeah, but like, do you ever watch the Late Late Toy Show when they're doing, you know, when they're going through, they're talking about a particular toy and they'll pick out like a very niche, as the Americans would say, a very niche toy that might be like for girls aged between 6 and 6.5, right? And they'll go through the whole toy and then they'll go, and guess what? We've got one for everyone in the audience. And the audience goes fucking mental. And you're like, half of you do not have a child, more than half, do not have a female child between the ages of 6 and 6.5. So what are you even going to do with that? Well, and it's only worth $29.99.
To be honest, they were probably preloading before the show, though, to be honest. I'd say they're well mineraled up by the time Ryan says.
Do you think they're given more drink for the Late Late Toy Show or for the Valentine special?
I don't, I mean, I would say Valentine's special, surely.
Mm. I've heard that's a
bloodbath. It's surely they're not feeding the children alcohol, are they? Before the gigs?
No.
Before the show?
No, I'd say the entire day of the Late Late Toy Show is trying to bring the kids down.
We know what kids are like when they're drunk. Like, they're just such a head wreck. I do say that all the time when it comes to the nieces and nephews. I only let them have fizzy drinks when they're very, very hungover. Like, that is the only time. And then people in my family are like, you don't talk about us, do you? And you're comedy. And you're like, no. I mean, what else would I talk about? Come on.
I was recently in the States with my sister and her kids, and her one-year-old is mad for the rosé. And like, whenever she has a glass of rosé, she'll sometimes like put a bit in her finger and let him taste it. Because then you get the like hilarious reactions from kids who are like, ugh, like alcohol, ugh, beer. And this child cannot get enough of the rosé. Was like sticking his entire fist in the glass. And today I went for brunch with a friend of mine whose son is nearly 2. And she is one of these people who has decided not to allow her son to have any refined sugars until he is at least 2. Okay. Right. So he hasn't had a bit of chocolate, hasn't had a sniff, has just had like fruit. And I think he's had a bit of honey and that sent him wild, like sent him over the edge. And then I was saying to her, I was like, when can I finally give this child some like Milky Bar buttons? She's like, you know, maybe after his birthday in April. And I was like, you know, Fox, because like my nephew Fox is the same age as her son. And I was like, Fox is mad for the rosé. And she did this real like guffaw, like, that's a hilarious joke. And I was like, no, I'm being deadly serious. Mad for the rosé.
Mad for the rosé. I know, and it's the old Jordan trick. Do you know Katie Price? She used to always say that a bit of whiskey in the bottle really gets them down. Apparently. Well, like a small bit. I think that's what
Well, they used to do that in Ireland as well, didn't they? They used to like dip.
Well, look, Pint Baby. At least five times a week, I ask myself, what's become of Pint Baby?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Where was he from?
Do you remember they? I'm sure someone will get in touch, but somewhere in the Midlands, I think. But I do remember. Do you remember they caught up with Pint Baby?
Oh no, I'm thinking of a different baby.
No, this was Pint Baby. So in that so in that footage where the baby's like at the bar and the baby's having a sip of the pint, that Pint Baby, and they found him. This was like whatever early 90s. So they found him not so long ago, and they caught up with him because this footage had re-emerged, and everyone was like, "What happened to Pint Baby?" And it was, and then anyway, they found him. They were like, the mother's there, and she's saying, "Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there was nothing wrong with it. He turned out grand." And like, it's like maybe can we hear him speak, and we'll be the judge of that? Like, so he doesn't actually speak at all. He's just sitting there beside him. You're like, no, something's gone wrong here. Like, we need to find out what.
I thought you were talking about. Do you remember that footage went around of that? Like, I was going to say Bonnie, but like probably severely overweight toddler from. He was Asian or something, and he was smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yes. What was that?
This 2-year old is addicted to. Yeah, it was probably last year or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, this 2-year old is addicted to cigarettes. He smokes 15 a day or something. They just showed him like puffing away.
Because the whole smoking thing, I can remember even when I was younger, because I was always such an anxious little wreck. On more than one occasion, my mother would have advised me to just have a fag and relax. Like, I mean, you honestly, you'd be coming home from primary school, you couldn't get your head around the long division, you know, you could feel that college degree slipping away. My mom would be like, listen, why don't you just have a fag and relax? But it never happened.
My granny gave my sister a cigarette when she was, I think, 6 or 7. My granny used to smoke 120 cigarettes a day, right? She used to just smoke one off the last, like, big ambitious, like, you just never live up to that. And she gave my sister a cigarette when she was about 6 or 7. I think it's Beatrice was like, what's that like? She's like, here you go. And she never smoked again.
It's funny, you know those stories that, it's funny you say that now, because someone was only telling me during the week, and it reminded me of like my dad telling me that years and years ago, you know, his uncle or someone sat him down when they found him smoking, and the punishment was to make him smell like a whole box. Yeah. So he was like, I was just instantly addicted. You know, it's like I've gone from one a day, like a sneaky fag out the back, to now a box a day.
That's
like,
very...
It could seriously backfire.
But that's very Roald Dahl Matilda. Do you remember when they made... Didn't they make Matilda eat that entire chocolate cake? Or was it her, or was it someone else that ate the whole chocolate cake?
Now, I used to think I was Matilda, so I should surely know this. Did they make her eat a whole chocolate cake? I mean, that doesn't sound very punitive, does it? That just sounds like a regular... A regular Saturday, like a regular Friday. I went through this mad phase in secondary school where, do you remember Jerry Springer used to be on really late on a Saturday night?
Yeah.
And I used to start baking at maybe like midnight, and I just eat all the produce and watch Jerry Springer, like, so grim. I mean, then I was reading Jerry Halliwell's autobiography not so long ago. I've read that as well. Do you remember
Look at Me?
Well, she had a couple of them, but you remember when she fished some chocolate cake out of George Michael's bin, and this was her lowest moment.
Sounds like a most revolting euphemism.
But I mean, yes, actually it does. But I mean, I fish chocolate cake out of a bin on a regular basis. Listen, like, come on, Jerry.
There's probably very little I have not fished out of the bin, including like cigarettes that I've gone, I'm not smoking anymore. And then I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll tear them up, and then I'll go through the bin trying to find the ones that were torn at the end where there's still some cigarette left.
Well, I did feel bad because a few weeks ago, myself and Fred had a bit of a tiff, and it was a Prosecco induced tiff, so I was a little bit emotional, etc.
Foxy's en route to some rosé induced tiffs.
Is everyone
now
on the rosé? What's going on? I'm loving it. But then it was funny because we came home and Fred was like, have you seen the cigarettes that I had? Like, he doesn't smoke on the regular, but just when he's had a few. And I was like, oh, they're definitely there, but I knew I had thrown them out the previous week, so he was looking for them for a good 90 minutes. I mean, how cruel is that?
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Revenge! I love it.
That's pretty good. I remember when I was in, where was I? I can tell this story now because I've since confessed to my friend. I was in like Mallorca, somewhere very, I mean, this is, I was going to say somewhere very pedestrian, but that's very middle class of me. But I was in somewhere in Spain, yeah, right, for a week with two of my mates. And one of my mates was at the time, in hindsight, going through a very difficult time with a huge asshole. But at the time we were like, she's obsessed with her boyfriend. She's never talks about anything else. Look, she's in a bad mood again. And she was very moody and having a really shit time. And he was sending her a whole lot of like shitty texts and being very controlling and weird. But I like didn't really know what was going on and was very impatient about this. She was just basically just driving me mad.
Yeah.
So she's ruining the holiday. She's in such a terrible mood. It's ridiculous. And there was one night we went out and we met this group of lads. And she suddenly was like all charm. So then I was in even more of a rage. And on the way home that night, we went into this restaurant. We went into this takeaway and we got like chips and chicken wings. And we brought them home to the apartment. And I remember sitting there and eating the hottest chicken wings I've ever tasted in my entire life. And my friend Roisin turns around and goes, "Oh my God, they're so spicy." And I took one look at my friend Kate and I went, "I don't think they're spicy." And Kate went, "Yeah, I think they're fine." And Roisin was like, "God, these are so spicy." We were like, "No, I don't think they're actually fine." And then the two of us like stuffed ourselves full of chicken wings going, "These aren't spicy at all. It's just you." And then we got into the room and I was like, "Oh my God, I need water." And so was she. And this was our the
you were
only
just
thing.
Feeling really contrarian.
This was the only thing that we could think of to punish her for her perceived bad behavior was like, we'll just make her think that she's imagining they're spicy.
So, shit. I mean, gaslighting her basically when it came to the chicken wings. Oh my God. Would we say, I mean, that is kind of
that
gaslighting,
is, what I was doing.
Is it?
100%. Yeah, it's just in your head. These aren't spicy. You're doing this to yourself.
I've had such fun explaining to Fred about the whole gaslighting phenomenon and what it is within the context of Love Island.
Oh,
etc.
God, Love Island.
So, yeah, so that's why it probably came to my mind there. But yeah, no, I know, like when you're on holidays with the mates, yeah, it can be tense, can't it?
It can be very
tense.
And
it always starts off with, you know, with these holidays as well. Like, it's been so long. I mean, obviously everyone now is like married with kids, etc. So it's been so long since we've done these, like, you know, all girl holidays, yeah, etc. But I just think back to them and it always started out with 20 people were going to go and then gradually just
four
people.
And one of them gets the flu, so there's three of you.
Yeah. And it just, I remember the last holiday we were on, it was myself. I don't know, there was five or six of us, but we came up with nicknames for everyone. So we had night fun, day fun and no fun. So night fun would go out at night, day fun would go out during the day and no fun just never went out. Now we like the girl, this was not behind the girl's back. Oh. Like they were responding to their names. So we were like, okay, you were officially
like,
night fun.
I'm suddenly very tellingly defensive about this. And I'm like, I would absolutely be no fun and I would be in a rage.
Well, it's gas because now I literally have become so introverted. If I was on holiday now, I would be zero fun all of the time. But we were just laughing about that recently. And then always with these girly holidays, like one person took on the job of organising and invariably it was just a complete disaster. But I'm not great on the old holidays. We were in Lisbon. Have you been to Lisbon? We were in Lisbon the last week.
No, but I've heard it's lovely and my mother wants to go.
Yeah, no, I'd recommend it. Even though I am a bit of a nervous flyer, I'm not the best. Yeah, no, I'm a bit. I just find, you know, with these budget airlines, when they're nearly too cheap.
Let me tell you now, best thing ever happened to me on Wednesday. I was flying back from Stansted. I'd gone over for a couple of days. I went to see the Guilty Feminist podcast
live.
Oh,
amazing. Well, Alison was,
really
was on it.
Yes, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Alison Spittle and Aisling B and another girl who's Irish, Jessica Regan, maybe. I keep forgetting her name,
Jessica,
which is
Regan.
Rude of me.
I wonder who that
I don't
is
think
now.
She's in. I don't think she's ever, or she, I don't think she has been based in Ireland for years, and she's based in the UK, but she's been on the Guilty Feminist before, and I must look her up so I know her actual name. But when I was flying home, my flight was delayed by over 4 hours, which means that I get €250 in compensation. Unless Ryanair can prove that it was like basically an act of God. So I'm hoping they can.
Well, that's
don't ruin
amazing.
It for me now.
Getting €250.
Well, haven't got it yet.
Well, we're crossing our fingers. Well, I when I say, you know, budget airlines are nearly too cheap, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but it just unnerves me. I just think with the likes of Ryanair, the biggest con they ever put. I mean, you're flying to Lisbon for €20. I'm just like, as if they have oxygen masks on.
What are they skimping on?
I'd say in the event of emergency, like you would press the button for an oxygen mask, and instead of an oxygen mask, it would be probably like, I don't know, a gender reveal party or something where all this confetti comes down. Instead of it's the boy, it just says it's the end.
I'm actually imagining that if you press the button for the oxygen mask, the whole plane disintegrates, like in Labyrinth when she thinks she's in her bedroom and it all starts falling around her.
I love
Labyrinth so much. But I'm like, that's what I'm imagining now. That like you press the button and the whole plane just gives up and goes, fuck it.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Never
actually.
Mind.
Wasn't
Who
Labyrinth
are we kidding?
Just absolutely amazing?
It was so good and I still love it so much.
And Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly?
Jennifer Connelly. Okay.
And I am currently in negotiations with an Irish tattoo artist that I want to get. Well, I want to get a mini sleeve with a whole load of little different motifs that mean things to me, or that just like shit I like.
Yeah, yeah.
From like Buffy. But one of them is, you know, the little worm from Labyrinth that goes, "Hello, where are you trying to go?"
Amazing.
That one.
Amazing.
I know, it'd be so cute.
Do you love your tattoos?
I love one of my tattoos, and then I like two of my tattoos, and then I don't like the one that's at like 10%. Because yeah. It's being lasered off, so that one's on the way out.
I have a massive tattoo of a lotus flower here, which I quite like, but it's still not finished.
Julie's gesturing at her ribs.
To go back.
It's very
gesturing
sore.
Gesturing to the breastbone. I do love it, but I just remember at the time I was like, I want to get a lotus flower because it blooms in muddy waters. And the tattoo artist just doing like an audible eye roll. It's nice, but it's still not finished. Do you know my problem is the outline is just too thick. It's like a really thick outline. Now, the colours are great.
Yeah.
But I just said, once we're done with the base colour, we'll just leave it and I'll come back. And that was 3 years ago. So we're still unfinished. And then I have three swallows, which are supposed to be swallows, but they're actually vultures. They look a little bit more akin to vultures. And it's gas because I got them in honour of three people that I actually no longer speak to. So I'm like,
well, then vultures is perfect.
Every time I look at those birds, I'm like, what the hell? Like, what kind of Hitchcock moment was I experiencing that I was like, I want to be reminded of these bitches every single day.
Do you have their names on them?
No. So I mean, that's good because then you can just tell people they are whatever you want them to be.
Yeah. I was thinking for a while, I wanted to get one from basically the bottom of my breast, like on the side of my ribs, down to my hip. And I wanted to get a babushka. So, you know, like a Russian stacking doll.
Amazing, yeah.
With a background of lotus flowers and like beautiful flowers. And this was kind of before cultural appropriation was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, or like it was a thing we didn't know about it. We're living in blissful ignorance. And I really liked the idea of the babushka because like she contains multitudes like me.
Layers, yes.
Do you know what I mean? But in hindsight, I'm kind of glad I didn't get it because I feel like I'd have to then pretend I had a Russian granny every time I was on holidays.
Yeah. You could either go, if you want to go for the whole layered thing, you could have also gotten an onion would be a good one.
I could have got, I mean, I actually nice wouldn't one mind adding an onion to my mini sleeve.
I think I an like onion onions could be fun.
And be cute, also, a red onion. Always,
yeah, and it's a bit of an in-joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Who says no? You know, who'd say no to a bit of red onion?
I actually know people who don't like, my brother-in-law won't eat onion in anything, which makes cooking very difficult because onion is in everything. You can't cook anything French.
I mean, that's why he's married to your sister and not to you. Because, I mean, honestly, can you imagine trying to cook for someone who didn't like onion?
To be honest, I can barely imagine trying to cook for myself. He'd probably be better off being married to me because then we could just get takeaway all the time.
Do you know what? I find I'm such a creature of habit. I would literally have a salmon darn every single day of my life.
Oh.
I mean, for days. Like, it just... Because I can remember...
I mean, I'm making this face. I like salmon. It's just I somehow have this vision of these salmon darns stacked up one on top of another ad infinitum.
What is starting to gross me out is the salmon thing is the fact that they're full of plastic because that's what they're eating. Oh. And then you're full of plastic.
We're all full of plastic anyway.
It's just... I know. Well, I did actually see a very good looking man going into Wow Burger with a whole bunch of straws.
And
I was thinking, I was looking at him and I was like, surely this career is on the way out. But I like the way he's putting a brave face on it. He had a smart blazer on.
I thought you, when we were talking about how we're all full of plastic, I thought you were going to say, like, I saw a man walking into Wow Burger and he had like one of those plastic rings from the cans of beer like coming out of his finger or something.
Oh no, like literally he's obviously his job is plastic straws. And I just felt like taking him aside saying, listen, you've got to get into podcasting. Like that's the way to go. Just based on what we were just talking about there about the fact that podcasting is
making millions now.
Big.
Podcasting is having a boom.
Well, look, I mean, I think it's definitely the way forward. I mean, I love podcasts. As a medium.
What are your favourite podcasts?
Ooh, great question. Well, do you know, I think anything by John Ronson, absolutely love it.
Yes,
have you listened to Last Days of August?
Yes.
And the other one you had, Butterfly Effect?
No, I did not listen to that, but I listened to the Last Days of August. I think, you know what? I got put off the Butterfly Effect by that Josh Hartnett film.
I know they're not related.
Yes. I always confuse. They're the same person.
Do you know what? I absolutely hated them. I mean, the thing with Ashton Kutcher was I really hated the film as well. I just think Ashton could never quite believe he was on television and neither could we. You know, like it was just that constant state of... Like, do you remember Punked?
Yeah. Imagine being Ashton Kutcher. Not only can you not believe you're on television, but then you're fucking married to Demi Moore.
I know.
What a roller coaster that must have
been. And then Mila Kunis came along. And now they're married.
No, they're separated now, apparently.
What? Really?
I just read that the other day on some magazine. Because
they
in America.
Were doing what they were reading out a couple of weeks ago. What they were doing was they were reading out. You know what? It kind of annoys me when celebrities do that. The way they read out the false rumors and they have a big joke about it. It's just a bit too meta. So they were in the car having a bit of a joke about it. But yeah, I mean, I sometimes forget that Ashton was actually married to Demi. I remember when she was married to him and I really felt for her. She put up some response to a tweet saying, I love you so much. And his reply was, the other way you could have told me that was verbally because we're in the same room. And I just, cringe.
He's not wrong.
I mean, he had a point, but
he could have said that to her. Like, he could have said to her, yeah. What are you doing? You could have just told me that.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. But don't let Ashton Kutcher put you off this podcast.
That has nothing to do with Ashton Kutcher.
And I was raging I didn't see him in Vicar Street.
Not Ashton Kutcher now, John Ronson.
John Ronson. Yeah, I heard it was great, but I actually, it's one of those, you know, there's so much on. I just feel like I've kind of been in Vicar Street like so much this year that I forgot for a moment. I kept saying the whole time I was there in January with Tammy, I have to come back for John Ronson. I have to come back for John Ronson. And like everyone working there was like, just come back for John Ronson. Like, why are you announcing this every evening? And sure, then the moment came and I forgot all about it. And then afterwards I was like, I forgot to go to John Ronson. So I do love anything by John. I mean, my favourite murder, I know it's an obvious one, but I absolutely love it.
Have you read the book?
I haven't read the book.
Oh, great. Well, hang on. Here you go.
Stop it, Rosemary.
Here you go.
Oh,
I just read
no.
this on my holidays and I've been looking
what
for somebody to give it to.
What
I'm just
did
rubbing
you think?
The dust off it.
Oh, well, listen, would you mind if I borrow it?
This is exactly what I'm... No, I don't want it back. I'm saying borrow
it's
it.
It's hardback,
yeah,
Rosemary.
Borrow it and then pass it on to somebody else, you know, who loves the
oh
favorite
my God,
murder.
This because bling lifestyle of hardback books. I absolutely love it. And I, listen, would I pass it on then to...
Yeah.
Do you know who'd love this now is Miss Spittle. And I'm going to be
oh,
kicking
yeah.
it with
yeah,
her
yeah,
the next
but you have
week.
To tell her it's from me.
Absolutely, of course.
Because I love Miss Spittle as well, but I don't think she knows. Well, she does yeah. know who I am, but like barely.
Oh no, she loves you too. So stay sexy and don't get murdered. Okay, so I'm gonna keep it warm for Miss Spittle. What did you think of it? Did you enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I did enjoy it. But sorry, I sound like I have a condition. And the condition is you'd have to have listened to the podcast.
Yes.
So that's the problem, because I've been trying to re-gift it ever since I finished it. Because it's the kind of book as well you wouldn't read again, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. I really enjoyed it. I read it in kind of one and a half sittings, mm-hmm. you know, on the plane and somewhere else. It was a very enjoyable read. But if you don't listen to the podcast, you won't know what they're talking about.
Okay, yeah. Did you go to see them when they were in Dublin?
I saw them. I think they've been in Dublin twice now.
They have,
I saw them the
yeah.
first time. Or I saw them probably about a year, like over a year ago. So yeah,
okay.
I think it was the first time.
Was it a good show?
It was a really good show. And hilariously, at one point, when somebody got up to tell the hometown murder. So at the end of... So My Favourite Murder is a podcast where they each talk about a true crime that they find fascinating and they go through the whole kind of story of the crime. And then at the end of their live shows, they get somebody in the audience to come up and tell their hometown murder, which is just something, a murder that happened in their hometown. Or like an almost murder. And this girl got up and told a story that I can't remember anything about now. But somebody else in the audience went, that was my uncle.
No.
Yeah.
Way.
It was so Irish. It was ridiculous.
Did everyone just piss themselves?
Yes. Yeah.
But you can't, I was just about to say, you cannot do an almost murder in Dublin. Like, I mean, literally.
No. But sure.
Everyone is just so interconnected.
Sorry,
I mean, I'm,
did
by
you
the
see
way,
the...
I'm almost murdered about 20 times a day in Dublin.
Did you...
Have you been on the Lewis Red Line?
Did you see, that's very classist of you.
No,
you
I'm on the Lewis, I live on the Lewis
line
Red Line
bad
up,
now
until
it...
very, up until very recently. And I remember one day, and my stop was Shore Road. Shout out to Shore Road. And I can remember one day sitting on the Isle of Lewis and the tick man came up. And as I said to him, obviously you have your leave card, you're good to go and all the rest. And I said to him, I was like, he was like, ticket please, of course, as is his wont. And I 100% on my life, this actually happened. I said, I do have a ticket, but to be quite honest, you should be paying me to ride this thing. And he said, you're right, and walked away, which is pretty funny. And I've never been on the Green Line, but I dream big. So maybe one day I'm
going to make an
Irish
Green Line. But the Green Line now goes to
Cabra. You see, I'm completely confused. Does the Green Line, is that the one out to Dundrum?
Yeah.
And it goes all the way out to Cabra
yeah.
now.
So you have been on that one.
I don't know if I have.
You've been out to Ranelagh, surely.
To be honest.
You sound like
you
a woman
what?
Who enjoys a wine bar.
Do you know what? Actually, do you know what? I have been to Ranelagh. I have been, and I have been to a wine bar, and I have gotten, we were only talking about this recently, we were in the wine bar, we kind of went in a bit of a mad one, and then after the fact, one person in the group actually got onto us because, say there were like four of us, so she said, I realise I'm out something the equivalent of €20, so if everyone wants to throw in an extra five, so it just became this like huge thing. But now that you mentioned Ran and I just did a flashback to the WhatsApp group that formed after the fact, and it was like, if everyone could just put a fiver in.
Well, because she'd lost €20,
she thought she'd overpay by €20, but I'm an overpayer, so I always overpay, so I did it anyway because I'm not, you know, I'm not good at being assertive in those situations, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I threw in an extra 20. But it was the wine bar, that's what I blame.
I can't imagine a scenario in which I would realise the next morning that I'd overpaid by €20 and then tell people.
I know.
I think I would just go,
well, it was the name of the WhatsApp
annoying.
Group, A Pain in the Bill was the name of the WhatsApp group. And then we all had to. But you see, my issue was that I, because I always overpay. And it was a lovely, it wasn't a wine bar per se, but it was an absolutely really nice bar. And we got those, what are those drinks? You know, it's like a whiskey, is it a whiskey sour? And there's actual smoke coming out of it. Or a bourbon or something. Is it a special kind of drink? Is it a cocktail?
No, you've lost me now.
But anyway, so we had loads of those and all that kind of crack. But yeah, so the WhatsApp group formed. I didn't have a code card at the time. It was just this big like hoo-ha.
I took
you in the bank and hand over like the fiver and all the rest. It was just like, this is just, can I just give it to you when I see you? And I was like, it's just, I'm going to have to physically queue to actually give you this money.
And yeah, and that's like, actually like my hourly rate is actually more than that. So you're actually close
and then
to me
she,
money
but
now.
No, and she is a lovely girl, but it's just when it comes to the, you know, the way everyone's different when it comes to money. So she was like, I was like, it's just, I'll physically have to go into the bank. And then she was like, well, if you wouldn't mind. I know.
I was talking to somebody recently about how, so like I am with money the way some people are with something they don't give a shit about. Basically, I just do not care about money.
I'm trying to think of a comparison.
I rarely look at what things cost. And like that sounds very, like frequently I don't have any money. Do you know what I mean? So it's not that I'm like rolling around in my thousands going,
but
I
you're
never
not,
look at the
you're
price.
But you're not motivated by money. You're not money driven.
No. Yeah. And also once I've paid for something... So I was talking to somebody yesterday about the gym and I was like, oh, like, you know, that's great. You're going so often. And he was like, oh, well, I pay by the month and it's really expensive. So I have to make sure to get my money's worth. And I was like, so that's where we differ. And I was like, because if I paid by the month, I'd be like, sure, the money's gone whether I go or not.
I know.
I'd be like, the money's paid now. I paid that €120. And sure, I'm no richer if I go than I am if I don't go.
But like there is that... I don't know. Are we a little bit uncomfortable having money, etc.?
No, I love having
money. I don't mind. I know it's great to be comfortable, but I do love, you know, I wouldn't be someone who, I wouldn't be a penny pincher. Like I love spending money on other people.
No,
and
like
the pleasures of life and
I'm,
all that kind of thing.
I'm an absolute indiscriminate spender. So whether I'm spending it on myself or on someone else, I don't care.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'll...
But that's what I mean, that you're nearly... is it an Irish thing, but are we nearly happier without it?
Without like just money,
Rather than just saying, look, it's just going to be in a bank gathering dust.
Well, I definitely get it from my dad because my whole life and his whole life, he's been like, sure, money is there for spending. Well, it'll be there after you and there's no point in like accumulating it.
My dad is the same when it comes to money. My granddad used to have a great phrase as well, you can't take it to Milltown with you, which was the graveyard in Dingle, which I think there's a lot of truth in that. You can't take it to Milltown with you.
No, you can't.
Shout out to Milltown. I'm getting all my hits in now. Shore Road, Milltown, all the spots. I'm mentioning them all.
All the hot spots. Surely you're going to be sponsored by Shore Road any day now.
Oh, I mean, I hope so. Well, do you know what? I miss it so much because we've moved to the country. So I really, really...
Where have you moved to?
We've moved to the middle of nowhere. Now, it's a lovely house, all the rest, but it's an adjustment. It's a place called Rathmulloyne. I don't know if you know it.
No.
Most people don't. It's outside Trim. So it is lovely, but I do really miss living in Inchicore and I love the buzz of the city. And
did you buy the house?
I really do. No, we're only renting.
So you know what the problem is, though, I've realised? Since, I don't know if you know, but I've just come back from America. America. What I learned in America was, it's fine to live in the country... If the traffic is good, like if the traffic isn't bad, basically. Because like where my sister lives, right, is in the middle of fucking nowhere. But because there's so much space in America.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's so much space in America. All the roads have like four lanes. And there's never that much traffic. So you can get anywhere you want to go within 20-25 minutes, even if it's even if it's relatively far. Do you know what I mean?
That's actually really interesting. And it's like, so
you could live where you live and get into Dublin, like get into the city centre in 20 minutes, except for the fact that the traffic is so atrocious.
Yeah, no, the traffic situation is insane. I mean, I do really feel for anyone living off the M7. I mean, the M4
is mad. My parents live off the M7.
But it's just, when's it going to be finished? They were saying 2 years.
Well, now they live off near, but between exit 6 and 7. So they're all right, because it's only when you get to the exit 9, I think, that it gets really bad.
Yeah.
Just past Nace.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually love that ball at Nace.
Are you mad for the ball in Nace? I with the whole M7 thing, I was on it now the other day. Where was I last night? I was in Sligo last night and I went down to some gig there during the week. And I just, all the signs, slow down because my daddy works here. I'm like, your daddy isn't working here. That's why this road is not getting built. Where is your daddy? I haven't seen your daddy? Those signs, in weeks.
Those signs really fucking piss me off. Because
what's the story with them?
Because like, there are female construction workers now, right? Like, the whole idea, I understand
that
we're trying to humanize our workers, right? But those signs should be everywhere. Those signs should be in the supermarket, right? Card not working. Don't blame my mom. She works here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in the off license. Don't have ID. Don't blame my daddy. He's just doing his job. We need them everywhere.
Like, yeah.
You know, feel like being an arsehole.
It is.
Don't do it here. My mom works here.
I actually hadn't thought about it, but it's actually very gendered. You're right. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it in that way. But there's something about those signs that they just annoy me so much. I can't really explain why, but they really do.
Maybe it's the sexism. But I also would really like to know statistics for male construction workers killed by traffic while doing their job.
I road know, maintenance. I wonder.
I'd say the figures are quite low.
I mean, to be honest, we're all going like 10 kilometres an hour because they're not building the bloody road. So like, if I don't know. It's just, it's a funny one. I know for me now, because we were actually looking at a lovely house. Where was it? We were looking at one kind of Kilcullen area. We were looking at another one, Donaghy Forest. Were you ever in Donaghy? Mm-hmm. And then we were looking at Rathmullen, and there are massive pros to living in the country, like huge. And do you know what? It's funny, like when I'm out, because I know obviously you're originally from country area and all that. Like I know when you're out of the city, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's amazing for maybe an hour. And then I'm like, I just want to walk into town now and have a coffee. Like I was such, when I lived in Inchicore for a couple of years, like I just really availed of absolutely everything the city has to offer. You miss the buzz of the city so much after a while.
And you also get fucked off being like here, right? It's happened to me several times that I've gone, I'm going to make whatever, lasagna or brownies or like, they're basically the only things I can make. So I'll go, I'm going to make one of those things. And I don't have any milk. And I'll go to the shop. And then I'll get back and be like, fuck, I have no cheese. And I'll go back. You can't do that in the country.
Yeah.
Because A, you have to get in your car. And once you've gotten your car once, you'll be fucked if you're getting in your car again.
Exactly.
Then you're not having the lasagna, you're having toast.
It's because it's effort.
Yeah. So it ruins your like not even that complicated recipes.
It's, well, and like, it, you know, it's one of those, I think again, in the long term, like maybe it'd be nice to live in the country. You know, we all have these like 5-year plans where you think, I'm going to retire
to
the West.
Nice to settle down in the country, yeah.
Yeah, and then
mine's like West Cork.
West Cork just amazing. Have you listened to that audible, I presume?
Yes, I did. Oh my God.
Do you know they're coming back for series 2?
Yes, and did you see they're doing a live show? I really want to go, and I really want for Ian Bailey to be there.
Where's that happening?
In the Cork Opera House.
I mean, that's appropriate, isn't it? I mean, to be fair. Like, I would say Cork Opera House.
It should happen in Cork. Yeah,
it's only right. Because Ian Bailey would completely 100% be there. There's no way he'd pass up that opportunity.
Yeah, well, that's kind of... And then I would really like a special guest star, Malcolm MacArthur, to be there. And he could get up on stage and tell Ian Bailey, even if you get convicted, it's grand, because look at me now.
Come here, is I'm he out now? What's the story?
Yeah. And I saw a tweet the other day that Liz... Oh no, I'm going to forget her name now. I can see her book in my mind and I can't remember the name of it either. I'll put it in the show notes as a thank you. But Liz Blank on Twitter, who's an Irish author, said she was at some...
Oh yes, Liz Nugent.
Yes. Yay. Yes, excellent. I'm really glad we got there. She was at a crime writing convention with a whole lot of other writers and they were chatting afterwards and Malcolm MacArthur came up to her and two other writers and said, "Do you base your fiction on real life events?" That was his question.
Amazing. No.
Amazing.
Okay, first of all, crime writing event. Why weren't we there?
I mean, maybe I'm making that up. Maybe it was just like a literature festival.
Okay, but I mean, is this... Okay, that is completely nuts, isn't it? When you think Malcolm MacArthur can actually come up to you and ask that question. Like, mm-hmm. something's wrong with mm-hmm. the system. Does that sound like a repentant man?
No.
I mean, well, now I should make the stretch that he's not repentant, but it sounds like someone who's not totally distancing himself from previous crimes. But then I mean, maybe that's not a bad thing.
It actually sounds like somebody who's at home going, when is someone going to write a book like me?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like someone who is maybe trying to rehash it all or something. Or
maybe he's scouring like Irish crime books and being like, oh, that's definitely about me.
I do. Have you read anything by Liz Nugent?
Yes, I read the one about...
Lying in Wait?
No, the other one.
Lying in Wait now is very good.
I read the one about the girl who lives on, it basically seems to be like Valentia Island or some like remote island off the west of Ireland.
Ooh,
and then
I haven't read that one.
Her house burns down. Like, and I think it's the last house in the island. Anyway, she has to leave the island and it's kind of
I hate when you have to leave your island because your house burns down.
Listen, if it's not your house burning down, it's because you have to go and like rescue some demigod.
Yeah.
And bring him back to save everyone else.
Lying in Wait was very good. There was a very funny sex scene. It's from the protagonist's point of view. The guy, and he's going out with this country girl, and after sex, just this one line that just really made me giggle. After sex, she always says thanks a million. And I just thought to myself, I have definitely said thanks a million on more than one occasion.
I have definitely...
I've definitely bought a thank you card and said, look, this is the thank you. Thank you so much.
I have definitely given a guy a blowjob, not got off myself, and then said thanks.
Oh, I know.
Stop. Not to one up you, but I definitely have done that.
The blowjobs. I mean, come on. Like, honestly, I just... When did they start? Honestly, I just... Actually, a friend of mine said she scored this lad and a few weeks ago, and she said that she was giving him a blowjob and then he was like, can you kiss me as well? And she was like, okay, like, so it's one or the other? Like, there's only so much I can do here. And then he said, it's just that I'm a little bit lonely up here. And she was like, what? I physically could not be closer to you right now. Like, my mouth is full of your crotch at the moment and you're telling me you're lonely.
And was he...
And asked for a kiss. And now not... Like,
I mean, that should be nice. That's not a...
It is nice, but it's as in at the same time, she's like, oh, okay, because I'm just kind of down here now at the moment, so...
Did he want to have
one
sex?
Or the other.
Like, is that what he was trying to say? Like, come up here, give me a kiss and we'll
I
have
think
a more
he actually,
intimate...
No, she was very much like, no, he was like, I want to kiss you at the same time. And she was like, okay, because that's kind of impossible. Thank you for
it's
your input.
Just fucking men and their high expectations.
Yes, I do think. I think the expectations are too much. I mean, as Samantha said many moons ago, they don't call it a job for nothing. It's true, though, isn't it? That's mad about Malcolm MacArthur now. What do you think about Ian Bailey? Do you think...
I'm really disgusted now that we suddenly went from blowjobs to Malcolm MacArthur.
I know.
It was a very dodgy and quick segue.
This is, by the way, welcome to my fractured thoughts. Because I always do this, like, I'll turn around and say... And we're like, are we having that conversation?
What do I think about Ian Bailey? I think it is very, very likely to me. I think in my brain, my opinion is, I have no evidence... I'm really afraid of being sued ever since George Hooked threatened me with legal action.
Oh, yes.
But I think he probably did it.
I would concur.
I mean, not even probably, I think he did it.
I would concur.
And I think if he didn't do it I mean, as my mother says, you'd have to feel sorry for him, but you actually wouldn't, because he's such a weirdo. Like, yes, if he didn't do it, why would he be coming? Ball. Like, giving them the interviews for this podcast, not letting on that he's the suspect. Do you remember that? Like, the whole intro to the podcast where he was showing them where it happened.
Well, he just courted the attention so much that I think he, as you say, even if he wasn't guilty, he probably... I mean, he really made any sympathy for him completely impossible because he courted the attention.
English.
Because, I didn't want to say it, but, you know, come on. I know.
But yeah, like, if he didn't do it, he enjoyed it way too much.
Exactly, yes.
So that's weird. Exactly. Like, if he didn't do it, you wouldn't be that happy to talk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, look, obviously, if he did it, he's a murderer and goes out saying, that's not very nice.
If he did it, he's
and
a murderer.
If he didn't do it, well, I don't think he behaved very nicely after the fact. Anyway, so, you know, I think that that's also maybe a bit, I mean, obviously, you know, if he didn't do it, the man's life has been ruined, etc. But I would think he probably did, obviously with no evidence whatsoever, but just based on having listened to the podcast and all the rest and just what I knew of the case, I'd say he probably did.
Yeah. My favourite bit about that whole podcast was when they were interviewing the police who were talking about how she had no curtains on her bedroom window. Do you remember that bit?
No, I don't remember that bit, actually.
Oh, here we are now in the bedroom where it happened, and she'd no curtains in the window. You know, she's French.
Well, there was that thing, because, of course, do you remember this was... Now, you're a little bit younger than me, but do you remember the case when it happened?
Yeah.
But I can remember at the time, like, she was very... Poor old Sophie Toscan-Duplanty was very much depicted as this harlot around the place a couple of days before Christmas, not at home with her husband
and
child.
And, kids, yeah.
And of course, a big thing as well was because she was a divorcee and sure, we'd only just gotten divorced, etc. So, like, I think she was very much like, you look back now at how she was depicted, and it was kind of
this was bound to happen now because she was French and she was here on her own. Her husband was back in France. She was capping
around. And it was, you look back now, because we actually looked at it on one of the episodes, and just the amount of misogyny involved with the media coverage of that case was just, ugh, so gross. I mean, as with so many things when you look back.
Well, I was
going
to say, no, not even to the 90s, like even to today.
Oh, 100%, I'm only talking about the 90s in terms of, because generally what we would be chatting about. Yeah.
But I mean, even to today when you look at, there is no crime against a woman that is reported without a whisper of misogyny somewhere.
Oh, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's always there somewhere.
It's, and that, do you know what? That's what I like about My Favourite Murder, is that, because it's funny, isn't it? I find that they get a lot of, oftentimes, like, the whole premise is kind of dismissed as, oh, well, that's, you know, a bit, it's a bit gratuitous, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're kind of not even glorifying, but, you know, you're kind of harping on about these terrible crimes and, you know, what about the victims, etc. and all that.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, you know, maybe not particularly tasteful.
Yeah.
And what I like about My Favourite Murder is that it's generally women talking about crimes generally inflicted upon women by men. And I find that perspective really interesting.
I find it really interesting, but I also think the reason they generally talk about crimes against women committed by men is because the majority of murders that aren't, like, gang related, or, you know what I mean, that aren't in prison, are murders of women by men. Like, the majority of out of nowhere violent murders.
But the
isn't
the perspective interesting? Like,
it is interesting, but I also find it very depressing. Like, there was a point last year where I went, I actually need to not listen to any true crime podcast for a while, because all I'm listening to is men killing women, and it was getting very grim.
I took a break. I used to listen to Case File.
Oh, I still listen to him, and he drives me mad.
I don't know what it is, but I did reach a point as well where I'm like, I was just like, this is too much. I was kind of wandering around a little bit down in myself.
I
looked at what I was listening to.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, A, I'm just all about the melancholy when it comes to the music. And then B, I looked at my podcast, and it's just like Case File, My Favourite Murder. And there's a bit of banter, etc. in My Favourite Murder.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, Case File is just relentlessly grim.
Case File is so grim. And also, I just don't like the way he kind of editorialises that. He'll go like, Rebecca was only 11 when her life was snatched from her. At a time she should have been walking to school, she was being buried in the back garden. And you're like, shut up. Like, just get to the point.
I think that he's kind of gone a bit mad for that now. And then the whole, like, anonymous host thing. I've just so many questions about who he is.
I actually don't care.
I'm mad to know. I'm just mad. You know, I'm just sitting there. I just want a visual.
He's just an Australian. They all look the same.
Yeah, well, this is
tanned,
true.
Tall.
Yeah.
Like, I just imagine him like Chris Hemsworth.
But Rosemary, sometimes I ask myself, is he even Australian? Like, who knows?
Ah, he is, surely. That's a good accent.
You would imagine, though, but it's just the anonymous host thing. I just want to anchor this. I mean, I've invested so much in Case File. I feel I want to anchor it in some kind of reality.
Do you ever think about, like, sometimes with stuff like that or with crimes or with Bloggers Unveiled, like, do you think we'll die and we'll never know? Do you know what I mean? That really annoys me.
I think generally you do know, and you do find out, etc. People
better.
In this day and age, it's just so hard to stay anonymous.
Like, I want to find out, is that Conor McGregor's baby in Liverpool?
Of course it is. Have you seen the pic? Do you know what it reminds me of now? Do you remember all those years ago? And again, because I'm a little bit older, you might necessarily remember. But do you remember Boris Becker had this baby with this girl that he met at a party. And like this absolutely stunning dark skinned woman. And she was like, I'm pregnant with Boris's baby. And Boris like, absolutely not. This did not happen.
And the baby came out.
Like this ginger baby. And Boris still had the audacity to ask for a paternity test. Like, come on. She's on the cover of Hello magazine or whatever it was. And the blue eyes, the ginger hair. And like, she's like a model now, that child. She's like 18, 19. But even then, I mean, I think that babe, I mean, that has to be Conor McGregor's child.
If you could have, if you got pregnant by a celebrity who was then going to deny it and force you to do a paternity test, but was obviously going to then have to pay you a lot of money, which celebrity would you choose?
Oh, a great one. Okay. Well, the first poster that gave me the feelings was actually Mark Wahlberg, I'm ashamed to say.
Oh, and he's very rich.
So, I say I'm ashamed to say, because I think, personality-wise now, he's lost the charm a lot for me. So, I don't know. That is a tough one.
I was going to say The Rock, right?
Who would you say? Well, Dwayne Johnson. I mean,
So because I love him, right, and he's like one of the top earners, he's fucking plenty of money, you could spare it.
That seems such a nice guy.
That's the problem. The idea that, like, in this scenario, he has to deny it, he has to force you to take a paternity test, and he has to be a bit of a dick about it. I don't want to ruin Dwayne Johnson.
I know.
For the sake of having a beautiful, dark-skinned child who will then be rich.
Who's already tainted?
Michael Fassbender?
Is he tainted?
Well, there are some rumours.
Okay, well then let's go Michael Fassbender.
Because he's hot.
I mean, he's absolutely gorgeous.
And I'd say he's lots of money. Nice and tall. Good teeth.
No, he is lovely. Actually, you know, Eddie Murphy was the devil for that crack. Do you remember when he had the baby
Melanie Brown.
With Mel?
Mm-hmm.
And then he acknowledged, his exact words in the affidavit were, I acknowledge the existence of other children. Like, I mean,
what?
So he talked about like other kids he's had, like say outside of his marriage, etc. And he was like, I acknowledge the existence of other children. Like, just so adversarial, even the language of it.
If I ever cheat on anyone and I get found out, I'm going to say, I acknowledge the existence of other men.
I know.
That's really good.
I mean, it's just divorcing yourself
of
any responsibility whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because every now and again, you know, when I happen upon an Eddie Murphy film, I just think...
Coming to America is still amazing.
Yes, actually, that is true.
Coming to America will never... Even Eddie Murphy can't ruin Coming to America. But The Nutty Professor can get fucked, like Fat Phobia as well.
That just makes me want to go home and watch Coming to America again. Yeah, you're right. That is pretty fantastic.
Mm.
But I think everything, you know, like Nutty Professor, etc.
That's gone. That's fatphobic. That's
dead
gone anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any of that crack is just done.
Anything where somebody's in a fat suit anyway.
Isn't it very funny how certain things just don't age?
Mm. Nutty Professor also, that stupid film where the one Rosemary who's ever been depicted on film, Shallow Hal.
Well, do you know what? It's funny you say that, because as you were saying about Nutty Professor, that's the one that sprang to mind, with Jack Black, of course. And Gwynnie.
Yeah.
So that can get fucked as well.
But also,
I think at the time,
I want another Rosemary movie.
But at the time, I think people
that
were
got a lot of backlash. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah, well, no, I want one where I'm not in a fat suit and I'm not, don't have a possessed baby.
Okay, well...
Is that too much to ask?
Well, look, I'll write something up this evening and I'll send it on. I think this could happen. We'll just do an Ask Wilga. We'll get the funding. It'll be good
to
go.
Oh my God, I was just talking to somebody earlier about how my mother always says, if you're going to write a book, write it in Irish, because it'll definitely get published. That's her big theory. That's like, it's write it in Irish.
But it is, I think it is a lot easier to get stuff published in Ask Wilga. Well, it's, I think they copped on in the EU, because I did Irish in college, and I was always threatening that I was going to go over to Brussels and translate for a few months, and then people would be like, do you want to live in Brussels? And I'm like, no. Because invariably I was like stalking some guy down in West Kerry or something. I was like, this long distance relationship won't work if I'm in Brussels. But I think the EU did cop on that absolutely no one was reading stuff in Irish. Now, you can still work as a translator, etc.
I think they still have to translate things to Irish by law, don't they?
I think they've really cut down on the old, we are seeking 3,000 translators to translate documentation into Irish.
What I love is, if you're getting any correspondence from the government in Ireland, you can demand to have it in Ask Wilga, can't you?
And also, you know, I think, now, I don't know how they've done away with this, but back in the day, if you were arrested, they had to have someone...
They had to be able to speak Irish
to
you.
But I think they've... Have they gotten rid of that, I think?
I think... So I think it used to be that every guard had to be able to speak to you in Irish.
Yes.
If you spoke to them in Irish, they had to speak back to you in Irish. I think they've got away with that. So I think now, if you are a native Irish speaker and you say to them, I wish to speak... to give my evidence, Ask Wilga, they have to provide someone. Because because now they have a lot more foreign, not foreign nationals. Are we not allowed to say foreign nationals anymore? Sorry, I also hate that question. Are we not allowed to say that anymore?
But I know what you mean. But there are, like, you know, say foreign people of foreign nationality working in the guards now. Yeah,
who wouldn't have done Irish
in
school?
Which is just fantastic, because now you've got people who can, like, you know, speak Mandarin or whatever it is to, or Portuguese or whatever it might be. So I mean, I think that's, well, because I would still have a big grow for the language, but I do think, like, for a long, long time, there was this golden circle mentality. And I kind of subscribed to the conspiracy theory to a certain extent that, you know, like 150 years ago, whatever it was, that they decided, let's bring back Gaelic, let's bring back all these sports. That's actually, they succeeded in doing that. That has happened. But I think if they really wanted people to speak Irish, we would be speaking Irish. I kind of have this conspiracy theory that they kind of wanted to keep it to themselves for a long time. Jobs for the boys type thing.
You mean the Gaelgory kind of wanted to keep it to themselves.
The Gaelgory inner circle, etc. And by the way, I love the Gaelga. I do loads of stuff, Ask Gaelga and all the rest. But I think for a long time, there was a bit of that golden circle mentality. So that's kind of my conspiracy theory on it. I think there is an element to that.
You know what, though? I think everybody should be able to speak Irish, number one, so that you can talk to each other about other people on your holidays.
I know.
Because I realised how frustrating it is.
So important.
When I was in the US, like, frequently, myself and my sister wanted to have a bitch about someone in Target, and we couldn't do it if her husband was there.
Yes.
Because he doesn't speak Irish. And, like, he actually afterwards was saying, I can tell by your tone that you were bitching about that woman, or whatever. And we're like, fuck. But, like, it is really frustrating, especially as well when you want to say things in front of the kids, that you're like, when the kids go to bed, we'll have a bottle of wine and we'll crack open the ice cream.
Yeah,
but you don't want to say it in front of them, because then they'll be like, ice cream for us?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, just
well,
rosé.
Well, I mean, Uchtar Rota, they're never going to guess that one. Come on.
No, but I think, like, no. I mean, that, no, but what I'm saying is, then her husband thinks we're being rude, because it seems like we're talking about him.
Yes.
So because he, like, I don't mind if the kids think you're being rude.
Do you know
kids.
What? We need to get him a Duolingo so that that he knows you're
oh
talking about
God,
the ice.
Oh my God, no. Then he'd just learn how to give the apple, take the apple, eat the apple. Have you ever done Duolingo? They're obsessed with apples.
Well, yeah. The thing
Mangia
with Duolingo
una mela.
Is, yeah.
Mangia una mela.
There's a bit of that. Oh, that's very convincing.
Thanks.
I didn't know you spoke Spanish.
I mean, that might have been...
Portuguese.
That
Italian?
Might have been Italian.
I was, well, when we were in Portugal last week.
I think Spanish is like comida for eating, isn't it?
I think comida. Is it, would it be, now that's my Italian, that's very on point.
That sounded very Roma, like, that sounded like a Dalmio ad.
Yeah, so comida, that was my Dalmio. Impersonation of an Italian speaking Spanish.
Oh, very
it's
good.
Very, like, not many
it's
people
very specific,
can do it.
VG.
But when we were in Portugal there the last week, because, you know, myself and Fred, like, one of us is more translucent than the other. So my, honestly, I think my foundation tone is actually rigor mortis. Like, I think that's the colour. But we were in, but it was fun. Well, it's not even funny. Is it funny enough to tell on a podcast? No, but I've started, so I'll finish.
Yeah, you're
but
in
we
now.
Were the first day. I like to convince myself when I land in a country I can speak languages.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's just who I am now. And like, you know, we left the Airbnb and the woman in the Airbnb was like, "Olio, olio." And I was like, "Thank you. Yes, but thanks. Thanks so much now. Olio, olio." And sure, she was saying oil is in sun cream. So for the whole holiday, I was like going around, like leaving these shops and cafes saying, "Olio, olio," like a nut job saying sun cream, sun cream, like leaving. They were like, "What is she talking about?" Like these gorgeous, dark skinned, olive skinned people. And I'm saying to them, "Sun cream, sun cream," like just like a maniac. And you know the way you say it with such confidence.
Yeah, well, you have to. Yeah,
you're like, I'm fluent in Portuguese. Yeah. I don't know if you know this,
but Portuguese is a very difficult language.
It's supposed to be very hard. Yeah. Yeah, but yet I love Portuguese people so much. I think honestly, and I say this having met 5 Portuguese people in my whole life, but any Portuguese person I ever met was just so sound and so lovely. Fair. All five
of them.
That cannot be a coincidence.
No, that's pretty good. I mean, you'd meet 5 random Irish people, at least one of them's going to be a cunt.
Oh, I mean, 100%, yeah. And it's probably going to be me, if I'm honest.
Well, 2 including me.
If I'm including it. But yeah, no, so I would be Team Portugal all the way.
Tell me about your gig. You have an upcoming gig. It's coming up in 3 days' time.
In 3 days' time, very
Are you ready?
Yeah. No, I'm very excited about the show. The show is great, I think, I hope. It's called Julie Really Love Me.
Hang on. You need to harness the confidence with which you are shouting olio, olio at these Portuguese
You're
people.
You're right.
When you say the show is really good.
I'm okay.
So go again.
I love that. The show is really good. Channeling sun cream. Okay. The show is fantastic. Will not be topped. I'm really excited about it because it's about my quest for validation and my quest for love and all the rest.
Relatable.
And, I mean, hashtag relatable. So I do think it's probably, I think, the truest thing I've ever done, so I think that's a good thing. And I think it's comedy, it's a lot of jokes, etc., because I'm all into, you know, the one-liners, the bits and bobs. So I think it's true to me, even in terms of, like, say, the form and all that. So I'm super excited about it. It's in the Workman's on the 19th of July.
And how much are tickets?
I'd love you to come with 10 euro.
10 euro?
For you, Rosemary.
They're fucking free. 10 euro, that's nothing.
Listen
to me. I'm like, 10 euro, I'd throw it away.
And she's supporting me, and I'm just such a fan of her, Justine Stafford. And she's great. She's like the meme queen. You know, she does all the memes, etc., and Joe.ie. She's a really lovely girl. She's very, very funny. And, you know, it's nice because I just love, like, I'm a real girl's girl. And I love the idea of women helping women, etc. And, like, Alison Spittle, who we mentioned earlier on in the podcast, she kind of gave me my big break supporting her, etc. So it's kind of nice to do it for someone else.
To be able to pay it forward.
Yeah, even though Justine will come to support me and there will probably be 7 people there. And I'll be like, Justine.
No. Listen, olio, olio. Olio,
exactly.
It's going to be fucking packed.
That could be my new tattoo,
lining up outside.
Maybe, beside my birds of death.
You could just get 2 little sun cream bottles and then you'd know what it meant.
Actually, that's very true.
Idea.
Or even a little screensaver.
Hang on, we've really downgraded from the tattoo now to the screensaver.
I know, but I mean, the screensaver is just easier, isn't it, than carrying around a.
But like a minute ago, you were ready to commit.
Yeah, but this is who I am. I'm flaky.
This is very, very obvious. Where can people buy these tickets?
They can buy them on the Workman's Club website. And also there's a link on all my social media. So generally, I'm trying to embrace Instagram. Instagram is my love. So generally, if you're looking for me, you can find me
on
Instagram.
That's where you'll be. Julie J. Comedy?
Talking to myself, which I absolutely love to do. Julie J. Comedy, yeah.
J-A-Y.
J-A-Y.
Julie J-A-Y Comedy.
Thank you so much for having me on, Rosemary.
Thank you
it's
so much
pleasure.
For coming.
And listen, I'll get started on that script now when I...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rosemary doing something other than worrying about her baby or being fat.
We'll do it. It's happening.
Which, I mean,
and
half of that is probably actually pretty accurate to my life.
Thanks so much. Had a great time.
Thank
Great
you.
Chats.
And thank you all for listening. If you don't already, you can subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/RosemaryMcCabe with an A in my Mac, which is essentially now turning into a diary where I detail everything that I spend each week and dates that I go on, and I write mean things about men that I've met. So if you're interested in any of that, you can sign up patreon.com/RosemaryMcCabe with an A in my Mac. The producer of How To Be Sound is none other than the award-winning Liam Geraghty, whose own podcast, Meet Your Maker, you can listen to wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can check out the website, meetyourmaker.ie, and you can also listen to his horror drama anthology podcast, Petrified, anywhere you get your podcasts also. And Petrified and Meet Your Maker recently won bronze medals in an awards show in New York, no less. Fucking notions. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.